What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Trop, and I'm your host, Katie Trop. Well, before we get into things, I just dropped another lyric video for the single Presidential Blunt. So you can check that out on my official YouTube channel, youtube.com/KatieTrop. Or you could go to my official website, katietrop.net, and check it out there. If you also are on my website, katietrop.net, you can also find the preferred sports books that I am affiliated with as well. Just go to katietrop.net, click the Sports Talk with Trop tab, and right at the top you will see says Sports Talk with Trop preferred sports books. Click on that banner and it'll take you to a number of sports books that I'm affiliated with and that you can sign up for today for all sports and participating states as well. All right, so let's move on to the week 15 of the NFL, of the recap of this. We actually had some crazy games, some really good matchups, but then we also had some just really just excellent games come down to the wire. So let's go ahead and start off with the Dallas Cowboys at the Carolina Panthers. This was actually a shocking win by the Cowboys. It was pretty much dominated from start to finish by the Cowboys. Rico Dowdle, I don't know where this dude has been all season, but this is his third straight game eclipsing over 100 yards on the ground. He went for 149 yards on the ground this week. CD Lamb had a big game, 116 yards and a touchdown. But just overall, you know, the Cowboys had a ton of turnovers yesterday, 5 to be exact. Had a bunch of interceptions, a few fumbles. It was just an all-around solid game from the Dallas Cowboys for the most part. They got the win 30-14 over the Carolina Panthers, but I would not be shocked if this ends up being the last win for the Cowboys on the season. But it was nice to see them get such a dominating win for once. Then we had the Pittsburgh Steelers at the Philadelphia Eagles. That was an afternoon game, but I guess since I just brought it up, let's go ahead and talk about it. This was one of the afternoon games, the Steelers versus the Eagles. It actually should have been a good game between two good teams, but pretty much Philly dominated this one all the way through. It wasn't even close at all. As a matter of fact, in the second half, the Steelers only touched the ball, I believe, twice. I know in the fourth quarter, the Eagles went on a 10-minute long drive in which the Steelers never got the ball back. But even when the Steelers had the ball offensively, they are what they were. And that is just extremely ineffective. They weren't able to do anything. And then on the defensive side of the ball, the Eagles had no issues taking care of business. They locked Saquon Barkley down as best you can. As a matter of fact, he suffered a little bit of a knee injury, it seemed like, and he only ended up with 65 yards on the ground. But he didn't play a good chunk of the game. But, I mean, it didn't matter. Their receivers did it all. A.J. Brown had 110 yards and a touchdown. Jalen Hurts had a phenomenal game, went 25 for 32, 290 yards and 2 touchdowns. And just an overall dominating game by the Eagles, 27-13. And the Eagles just keep on rolling. Then we had the Kansas City Chiefs at the Cleveland Browns. The Chiefs won. It wasn't a lucky win for once, but it wasn't the dominating win by any means. They got the win 21-17. Patrick Mahomes went 19 for 38, 159 yards and 2 touchdowns. He did get injured in the fourth quarter, but it doesn't look like it's going to be anything debilitating. If anything, he might miss a game or two here towards the end of the season, but it looks like he's going to be good for the playoffs. I mean, it was a very quiet game for them offensively, even when he was in the game. This was yet another unimpressive win by the Chiefs, but hey, a win's a win, and they are 13-1 on the season. Then we had the Cincinnati Bengals at the Tennessee Titans, and the Bengals, they finally had their huge dominating game, and that was this one. They smashed the Titans 37-27. Will Levis threw so many interceptions and fucked up so many times in this game that he ended up getting pulled. And looks like he's not going to be starting the next game. But Joe Burrow went 26 for 37, 271 yards and 3 touchdowns. And they just had a huge game overall offensively. Jamar Chase had 94 yards. Brown, the running back, had 97 yards and a touchdown. And it was just straight up domination by the Cincinnati Bengals. In a shocking game here, we had the Washington Commanders at the New Orleans Saints, which ended up coming down to literally the last play of the game. So the Commanders were actually owning this game. The first half, it was all Commanders. Then the second half started, and they just cooled down offensively and weren't able to get anything going except for a couple of field goals. Saints were able to muster up a crazy drive in which they get the touchdown, bring the score up to 20-19. So what do they decide to do? It's either you kick the extra point, tie the game, head into overtime, because this was a literal last second drive. This came down to the last second. So it's either kick the field goal or go for the 2-point conversion and take the win. The Saints opted to go for the 2-point conversion, and unfortunately they did not convert on it, and the Commanders walked away with a close win, 20-19. Daniels had a solid game, 25 for 31, 226 yards and 2 touchdowns. Terry McLaurin had a huge game as well, 73 yards and 2 touchdowns, and the Commanders walk away with a win that they probably should not have got. Then we had the Baltimore Ravens at the New York Giants, and this went exactly as expected. Ravens smashed the Giants 35-14. Lamar Jackson had basically a flawless game, 21 for 25, 290 yards, and 5 touchdowns. Derrick Henry on the ground added in 67 yards, and just the Giants season could not end sooner, it feels like. But the Ravens soaring over a team that they should. But we'll see how things stack up once they hit the playoffs. Then we had a shockingly crazy game turned out to be between the New York Jets, and the Jacksonville Jaguars. It went back and forth all the way to the bitter end. The Jets were able to hang on to this one. It kind of felt like this was going to be the typical Jets game where they're in it, and then they lose it all the way at the bitter end. But no, they were able to hold on to it. The Jets were able to have a solid drive to take the lead. But then also their defense was able to hold off the Jaguars and walk away with the close win, 32-25. Davante Adams went off yesterday. He actually ended up with a 41-yard touch or a 41-yard huge gain. He just went off yesterday for 198 yards and 2 touchdowns. But I mean, the Jets season is pretty much over. So is the Jaguar season. So I mean, it was the battle between the two shitty teams, but it actually ended up being a very good game that the Jets were shockingly able to hold on to. Then we had the Miami Dolphins at the Houston Texans, and Tua Tagovailoa, he caught the interceptions yesterday. It was one of those games where it's just like interception, after stupid thing, after stupid thing. It was not a good game for the Dolphins. And the Texans actually had a very solid game. Offensively, there's still lots of questions, but they got the win 20-12. This was a big game for their defense. But on the offensive side of the ball, just this offensive line is not giving C.J. Stroud a lot of time. And I keep reiterating that that's probably going to be an issue once they hit the playoffs, because they did clinch a playoff spot. They won their division, and the Texans are heading to the postseason. But we'll see how long it lasts, because at this point in time, I don't look at the Texans as a legitimate championship contender. They definitely could get a playoff win, but I don't even see them being a team that could potentially make the championship game at this point. Then we had the Indianapolis Colts at the Denver Broncos. This started out as an interesting game, and then it just got away from the Colts as expected. They even had they handed the ball off to the receiver. He throws the ball, but you know, they tried to trick play, and the receiver ends up trying to toss the ball back to the quarterback. Well, actually, what ends up happening is the Denver Broncos defensive back actually ends up intercepting the ball and running it back for a touchdown. And I mean, really, it was never look back from that point in time for the Denver Broncos in that point in the game. They got the win 31-13. This officially knocks the Indianapolis Colts out of playoff contention. But big win for the Broncos, simply because they definitely need to keep on winning just to maintain their status as a wild card team. But big win, especially on the defensive side of the ball. And a very resilient win as well for the Broncos on the offensive side of the ball, because Bo Nix was throwing interceptions like crazy, but then was able to get it back together and start scoring in the fourth quarter. Then the game of the day turned out to be between the Buffalo Bills and the Detroit Lions. It was actually pretty much dominated all Buffalo all day. But the Lions definitely made it interesting, especially in the second half of the game, actually, especially the fourth quarter. But the second half, they were able to get it going. I mean, Jared Goff went off 38 for 59, 494 yards and 5 touchdowns. And those were stats in a loss. And Josh Allen also had four touchdowns, two through the air, two on the ground. So big day for both quarterbacks, but the Bills ended up hanging on 48-42. And it was not only a great game for Josh Allen, but James Cook, their running back, had 105 yards and two touchdowns on the night. It was their defense. They were really able to take care of business and really make the Detroit Lions offense look ineffective, especially in the first half. Even though the Lions were able to score 42 points, it really wasn't until the second half and most especially the fourth quarter was when they really got it going. But it was actually just too little too late, and that's why the Bills just kept building that lead. They kept scoring points, and they weren't doing stupid things either. Like when they would get in field goal range, they would just take the points, as you should just take the points. And here they are walking away with the win. And the Detroit Lions, they were due for a loss at some point. I mean, hell, Amon-Ra St. Brown had a fantastic game, 193 yards and a touchdown. But unfortunately, they suffered some major injuries along the way as well. Their running back, David Montgomery, he suffered an MCL injury. He's going to be out the rest of the season. Then they lost two defenders as well for the rest of the season. So it kind of feels like these injuries are starting to really pile up for the Detroit Lions at the wrong point in time. And this is a loss that might be a big deal for them. I still believe in the Lions. I still think they're a good-ass team, but these injuries might be their downfall at some point come playoff time. Then we had the New England Patriots at the Arizona Cardinals. This went exactly as expected. The Cardinals got the win 30-17. Wasn't even close at all. The Cardinals went up 10-0, and it was just on from there. As a matter of fact, the Patriots weren't even able to score touchdowns until the fourth quarter. So this was just straight up Cardinals domination. James Conner had a huge game, 110 yards and two touchdowns on the ground. Kyler Murray went 23 for 30, 224 yards, and just an overall efficient day from the Arizona Cardinals, and just yet another terrible loss for the New England Patriots. Then we had the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at the Los Angeles Chargers, and this turned out to be probably the most shocking game of the day. I'm not shocked that the Buccaneers won. I'm shocked at how big the Buccaneers won. The Buccaneers trounced this good-ass Chargers team 40-17. This is the second loss in the row for the Chargers, but this was an ass-kicking. Baker Mayfield just went off. Mayfield is I get more and more impressed with him each and every fucking week. 22 for 27, 288 yards, and four touchdowns. Mike Evans went off 159 yards and two touchdowns. The dude is almost at 1,000 yards, and he's missed part of this season. And if you don't know, Mike Evans, he's got a streak of like 12 seasons in a row of 1,000 yards receiving, and that's just crazy. So he just needs to average, I believe, 83 yards per game in these last couple of games to actually achieve this. And I'm rooting for it because Mike Evans is just another workhorse as well. Bucky Irving added in another 117 yards on the ground. But I mean, man, Mayfield is just carrying this team. Huge win for the Bucs because if they keep winning, they're going to easily win this division because the Falcons just aren't playing well right now. And I don't believe in them, but the Buccaneers I totally believe in right now. And I feel like they're a team that could walk into the playoffs and upset some motherfuckers too. You do not want to overlook this team because Baker Mayfield has been playing at an insanely high level this year. He's about as healthy as you can be, especially in his career. This guy suffered so many fucked up injuries. This dude's coming into the playoffs pretty goddamn healthy. So you better watch out for Mike Evans, Irving, and Mayfield in this. And the defense, man, the defense took care of business against his Chargers offense. Herbert could not find an open receiver yesterday. So this was an absolute demolition by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers on a good-ass Los Angeles Chargers team who suffered a huge loss towards the end of the season heading into the playoffs. And that seems like a typical Chargers thing to do, by the way. And then the Sunday Night Football matchup was the Green Bay Packers at the Seattle Seahawks, and this was all Packers all night. They got the win 30-13. Jordan Love went 20 for 27, 229 yards and two touchdowns. Josh Jacobs on the ground had 94 yards and a touchdown. And it was just all Packers. Their defense caused some turnovers. Geno Smith, unfortunately, suffered a knee injury. He would at some point leave the game as well. And they would send in their backup quarterback, Sam Howell, who just offered nothing up on offense for this team. But even if Geno Smith remained in this game, it felt like the Packers were owning this game. Their defense was on some. Their offense was having zero issues getting first downs, getting into the red zone, and then ultimately scoring points. It was just absolute domination by the Packers from start to finish. All right. And it's Monday Night Football, and we have us two games on tap yet again. Unfortunately, they're probably not going to be very good games. So the first matchup we have is the Chicago Bears at the Minnesota Vikings. Right now, the Vikings are a 6.5-point favorite. The Chicago Bears, they have officially been eliminated from the playoffs, so they're just playing for pride tonight. And not that they're not going to put up a fight, but I mean, just overall, offensively, this team has been trash. And defensively, not much better. Minnesota, on the other hand, is just flying high at all ends of the ball. They're fantastic on the defensive side of the ball and playing out of their minds on the offensive side of the ball. They just are clicking on all cylinders right now, and they need to keep pace with the Detroit Lions, who just suffered a loss. So them suffering that loss is huge for Minnesota. They keep winning. They've got a good shot at taking this division. So they need to keep on winning. I do have the Vikings winning this one 30-13. I just think they're the overall better team and they have more to play for. Whereas the Bears, they just don't look good at all. The homie Simon Ruvalcaba also has the Minnesota Vikings in this one 26-18. Then the other game, which is an even worse matchup, is the Atlanta Falcons at the Las Vegas Raiders. Right now, the Falcons are a 4.5-point favorite. In the last four games, if you didn't know, Kirk Cousins has thrown for 8 interceptions and 0 touchdowns. And in those games, Atlanta has continued to lose. They might actually get a win tonight since the Raiders are even worse than them. The Raiders are now officially on their third-string quarterback. Max Crosby, he is now going to be out for the rest of the season. And pretty much the Raiders are done. The Raiders right now are playing for the first pick in the draft. Not saying that these guys on the field aren't going to be playing tonight, but the Falcons at least have something to play for. They could still potentially win their division with the Buccaneers getting the win last night. They really need the win tonight, and they just really need the win. I think they're the overall better team. So I have the Falcons winning this one 20-7, and Simon disagrees with me. He has the Raiders winning this one 31-27. All right, let's move on to the NBA, and let's recap the NBA Cup and see where we're at with this. In the Eastern Conference semis over the weekend, Milwaukee took care of business 110-102 over the Atlanta Hawks, and it was just straight-up domination. Giannis just was a monster. He had 32 points, 14 rebounds, and 9 assists, so a double-double. One assist away from a triple-double. Damian Lillard also dropped another 25 points as well, and it was just absolute domination by the Bucks. And then the Western Conference semis ended up being an Oklahoma City Thunder win over the Rockets, 111-96. SGA dropped 32 points, and this Oklahoma City Thunder team is just rolling. They look so damn good. And even though all these injuries are piling up on them, they just look damn good. So our NBA Cup championship is going to be tomorrow night, Tuesday, in Las Vegas. It's going to be the Milwaukee Bucks versus the Oklahoma City Thunder. And I think this is going to be a doozy because both teams are rolling. The Bucks, they just now have got rolling, but they are suffocating on the defensive side of the ball, on the offensive side of the ball. Giannis playing out of his mind. Lillard is clicking on all cylinders. They're playing great. But the Oklahoma City Thunder have been one of the most consistent teams so far this season. They've been playing well all season long, and they've really just been running through everybody in this tournament. So I'm leaning towards Oklahoma City in this matchup to win the second NBA Cup. But I would not be shocked to see Milwaukee win it, but I've got Oklahoma City winning this one. All right, so let's get into the top 10 NBA power rankings for this week. A lot of movement, especially at the bottom. We have a couple of teams to talk about that we haven't really discussed yet. We have a couple of teams that have actually completely fallen out. One team being my Los Angeles Lakers, because they are playing like shit right now. And then also the Golden State Warriors. They also are playing like shit right now. So those are two teams that we've been discussing a lot throughout the season, but now they are not in the top 10 NBA power rankings this week. So let's start it off with the number one remains the Boston Celtics. Overall record of 21-5. They are 8-2 in their last 10 games. This past week, they got wins over the Detroit Pistons and the Washington Wizards. One player of theirs that is completely emerging, who has been a no-name, hasn't really been anything, but is emerging this season, and is point guard Peyton Pritchard. He has been huge in a few games. I mean, I got to find somebody else to talk about besides Jason Tatum, but I mean, of course, the team revolves around Tatum, but Pritchard has really started to rise and really started to earn his spot on this team and really looks like he's going to be a force. And if everybody wants to guard Tatum, well, Pritchard might be a dude that they could turn to who could potentially shake some things up. Then at number two, we have the Cleveland Cavaliers. Overall record of 22-4. They're 7-3 in their last 10 games. This past week, they got a win over the Washington Wizards. They just continue to dominate everybody by shooting the ball. They're first in field goal percentage, shooting 50% or knocking down 50% of their shots. They're first in 3 points as well, knocking down 40% of their 3-pointers. And they're second right now with 121 points per game. So are averaging 121 points per game. So they really are just scoring everybody out of the building. They continue to win. They continue to play consistent basketball. It's just, I don't know if they're better than the Celtics. I just think the Celtics, they got the championship pedigree. I trust them more. But Cleveland's just right there on their heels. Then at number three on my top 10 NBA power rankings of the Oklahoma City Thunder, overall record of 20-5. They're 9-1 in their last 10 games. This past week, they got wins over the Dallas Mavericks and the Houston Rockets. As I said, they are in the championship round for the NBA Cup. So they've really just been dominating through this NBA Cup. It is not shocking at all to see them in the championship round. SGA is actually averaging 30 points per game this season, so he is just their complete source of offense. But I mean, he's doing everything. Even with these injuries for the Thunder, it really has not been an issue. There is no weakness right now with this Oklahoma City Thunder team, at least at this point in time. At number four on my top 10 NBA power rankings are the Memphis Grizzlies. Overall record of 18-9. They are 8-2 in their last 10 games. This past week, they got a win over the Brooklyn Nets, but lost to the Los Angeles Lakers. And this team actually just keeps getting stronger and better as the season rolls on. Jaren Jackson Jr. has been having a phenomenal year. He's really been taken over with Ja. He's been in and out of the lineup with injuries, although Ja is playing really consistent basketball right now as well since he got back. They just got Zach Edey back as well. But I mean, this team dominates offensively, defensively, in the paint, from the three-point line. They are just knocking down shots. Right now, they are leading the league, averaging 122 points per game. They just have no issue scoring the ball, and they are just a really damn good team that I did not expect to be this good to start the season. Then at number five on my top 10 NBA power rankings are the Milwaukee Bucks. Overall record of 14-11. They're 8-2 in their last 10 games. This past week, they got wins over the Orlando Magic and the Atlanta Hawks. And as I also said about this team, they are in the championship round for the NBA Cup. And Giannis is just a monster right now, averaging 33 points per game, 12 rebounds per game, and 6 assists per game. Dame right there behind him, averaging, I believe, 27 points per game. I didn't write it down, but he is just right there behind him in every single category. They just got Middleton back as well. This team's getting healthier. They're getting stronger. They're starting to actually show that they're a legit squad. And the Eastern Conference, not that strong. So if they just keep it up, they will be right up there with Boston and Cleveland the rest of the year. Then at number six on my top 10 NBA power rankings are the Orlando Magic. Overall record of 17-11. They're 6-4 in their last 10 games. This past week, they lost to the Milwaukee Bucks and also lost to the New York Knicks. It kind of feels like their injuries are now going to start to pile up on them. You know, Banchero, he's been out for about a month now. And then they just lost one of the Wagner brothers. I believe it was Franz. I get the two mixed up, but I'm pretty sure it was Franz who is injured. Whichever Wagner brother is injured, it is a huge, it takes a huge toll on this already slim roster. But, you know, I mean, yes, they did suffer two wins this past week. But, I mean, overall, this team is right in it. They are leading their division, still playing really solid basketball. It's just, are the injuries going to pile up and start to take a toll on them throughout the rest of the season? We will see how that goes. But here they are still winning in 17-11 at this point in the season. That's a pretty damn good record right now. Then at number 7 on my top 10 NBA power rankings are the Houston Rockets. Overall record of 17-9. They're 6-4 in their last 10 games. This past week, they beat the Golden State Warriors, but lost to the Oklahoma City Thunder. And this is just a young crew that's just getting it done. Alperen Sengun, he still is really dominating at all ends of the court, offensively, defensively, getting rebounds. Jalen Green having a phenomenal year. This is just a young crew really putting it together. They have kind of fallen apart over the last week-ish, but generally speaking, this is still a good team, and they're just playing really solid basketball right now. Then at number 8 on my top 10 NBA power rankings, a team that is moving up now, the New York Knicks. I have them, their overall record at 16-10. They're 7-3 in their last 10 games. This past week, they got a win over the Toronto Raptors, lost to the Atlanta Hawks, and then got a win over the Orlando Magic. But Karl-Anthony Towns is really starting to fit in with this team. You could tell it was shaky to begin with, but now that the guy is knocking down shots, he's making some big blocks, he is having a huge impact on this team, and it's exactly what I feel like this Knicks team has been missing with Jalen Brunson. You know, Brunson, you ain't got to worry about that cat. He is a badass motherfucker who has no issue scoring. He's clutch, and he's just a great player, but he's always needed another guy right there with him. Well, Karl-Anthony Towns, he is that dude. He's averaging 25 points per game, 14 rebounds per game, and 3 assists per game. And he's, like I said, he's had some already a couple of clutch moments, really pulling through. And he's also, you know, this team looks pretty good on the defensive side of the ball as well. So the Knicks starting to put it together and starting to look like a solid, consistent team. And like I keep reiterating about the Eastern Conference, there aren't a lot of good teams in the Eastern Conference. So if a team like the Knicks just keeps it consistent, like the Milwaukee Bucks, they're going to be right up there and easily slide right into the playoffs. It's just whether or not they can be a good, legitimate playoff team. Then at number 9 on my top 10 NBA power rankings is the Dallas Mavericks. Overall record of 17-9. They're 8-2 in their last 10 games. This past week, they lost to the Oklahoma City Thunder, but got a big win over the Golden State Warriors, in which Luka just went off, dropped 48 points over them. As a matter of fact, Luka, he's come back from injury, and the dude has been a monster since he came back from injury. On the season, he's averaging 29 points per game, 9 rebounds per game, 8 assists per game. He pretty much just dominates this Mavericks team in all ways, shapes, and forms. It's just this team has been battling through the injuries, not only with Luka, but also with Kyrie Irving Thompson, Klay Thompson, holy motherfucking shit, that was a massive brain fart right there. I could see his face, just could not remember his name. But Klay Thompson, he's also had to battle through the injuries as well these last couple of weeks. So the injuries have been an issue for the Mavericks, but ever since they got Luka back, really hasn't been an issue, and now they're starting to get going. I expect that once they get everybody else back healthy and playing right, this is going to be a good team. But they are looking pretty good right now. And then rounding out the top 10 NBA power rankings of the Phoenix Suns, overall record of 14-11. They're 5-5 in their last 10 games. This past week, they got wins over the Utah Jazz and the Portland Trail Blazers. Now that Kevin Durant is back, this team is on fire, and especially on the offensive side of the ball. Booker's averaging 25 points per game. Durant's averaging 26 points per game, 7 rebounds per game, 4 assists per game. So these two are locked in and ready to go. It's just the injuries, of course. Durant's been injured. Beal's been injured. So it's just been that kind of a year for the Phoenix Suns. But they could definitely get it going offensively. It's just, are they going to be able to play consistent basketball? And that remains to be seen, at least so far at this point in time. And then the last bit of sports news that happened over the weekend, we had us a Heisman Trophy handed out. And for once, it didn't go to a quarterback. It also didn't go to a running back either. It went to a dual position player. That's what you would call him, a dual position player. He actually plays wide receiver and defensive back for the Colorado Buffaloes, and that is Travis Hunter. He had a phenomenal year. He is what you would refer to as a human highlight reel. I think that is the main reason why he won, because he just had so many game-breaking plays, so many game-changing plays, and just such a fantastic player. At the wide receiver position, he had 92 catches, 1,152 yards, and 14 touchdowns. And as a defensive back, he had 4 interceptions and 30 tackles. The dude is most certainly a top 3 pick, I would imagine. Depending on who ends up with the first pick in the draft, it's going to be between basically him and Shedeur Sanders as the first pick in the draft. But if you are a team that definitely needs a player like Travis Hunter, you're going to get a generational player as well as Shedeur Sanders, but it really just depends on what you're going to need. If you're the Raiders, you're going to need Shedeur Sanders because you need a quarterback. But if you're a team like, I don't know, the Jacksonville Jaguars or the Cleveland Browns, you might lean towards a Travis Hunter because you could use him possibly at the wide receiver position or the cornerback position. We don't know really what he's going to be once he hits the NFL. I assume that's just going to depend on who he gets drafted by and just kind of how their roster works out. But the dude is a unicorn. The dude is a beast. And if he were to get drafted by the Dallas Cowboys, you best believe I'd be fucking excited about it. So whoever ends up with Travis Hunter is getting a phenomenal player. And it was nice to see him win the Heisman, just to see a different guy win the Heisman rather than a quarterback, because it typically goes to them these days. But it was nice to see a guy who had such a dominating year, a guy coming out of a Colorado. You know, they're only pretty much known because of Deion Sanders, and you know what? He showed out. He's been phenomenal his entire college career. So, like I said, Travis Hunter, definitely deserving of the Heisman Trophy. He's who I would have voted for if I had a vote in that, and he's definitely going to translate well, I believe, into the NFL. So congratulations to Travis Hunter on that Heisman Trophy, because it was well-deserved for the phenomenal season that dude had this year. All right, y'all. Enjoy the rest of the week of sports, and I will talk to you on Wednesday.